Welcome to Dodgers Daily. Casey Porter here, joined by, hey, you have asked for him and you got him back. Coach Holt is right there on the screen. Coach, it was a great opener of the season, then another great domestic opener of the season. I know you've seen every single inning. What are your thoughts?
What you see is kind of what we expected, you know, an amazing offensive team. You know, and that you're getting pitching. The pitching was outstanding. I mean, Yamamoto, it is what it is. You know, we're not going to judge anybody on one start. You know, it's his first start ever in a major, you know, major league, you know, uniform. So, you know, it is what it is. It was brutal. But you look at the team, even that game, they were able to hammer back, scored 11 runs. So I think we've already seen not only the big three, but everybody else. You know, Muncy and Smith hit well over in Crow. I mean, it's just a total – the offensive team could be something amazing this year, Casey. I don't think any doubt about it. We're just pitching's been good. Defense still, you know, a little bit to be desired, but they'll shore that up too, I'm pretty sure. But early indications are this is going to be the type of team we've been looking forward to seeing.
Front office has indicated that, hey, the Dodgers may be not all the way in, meaning that there could be some moves down the line to shore some things up. So if I were to ask you, as great as the offseason has been, as great as this team is going to be, you just mentioned all those aspects, what part of it would you fix first if you were maybe the GM of this team?
Well, I think I still, as a coach, you know, again, not an everyday business of working with those guys, the starting pitching still is a concern for me. You know, we want to get those guys back. Of course, I could sit there and talk about Muncy's defense that one game, but, you know, I think that's a one game. I think he'll be fine there. The guy's swinging the bat so good. But, you know, I mean, the plays that weren't made there in that second game were kind of scary, kind of alarming. Those are major league third baseman plays that they should be able to make without a problem. So, you know, I have big concerns there at third base with the defense. And really the defense – you know, until you get settled in, Mookie's a first-time, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, you just – he'll get settled in there. But, you know, right now it's probably not as solid as they want it to be. But the offense is going to overcome a lot of stuff. But, yeah, I don't feel real comfortable there at third. I don't know that I ever have. I mean, I love the guy offensively and what he brings to the ball club. But that's a concern to me. I'm talking as a fan. I'm not in charge of anything.
Sure. And then you have Mookie Betts, who's never really played a whole lot of shortstop at the major league level. Then you talk about Max Muncy and then Gavin Lux. So there are some concerns to be had on this team. But I'll tell you what, Coach, one thing that has not been a concern that has been just simply fantastic. He was fantastic again last night. Tyler Glasnow. I'll tell you what, every aspect of him, his stuff, the way he looks, the way that he is acting like an ace, the way that he is pitching like an ace, his personality, all of it. I knew he was good. I had no clue he was this good.
That's the thing about it, Case. You never know. We've talked about this before, you know, with the surroundings and the atmosphere those guys get into. Last night was good before he got here.
Yes.
Now you put him in that clubhouse, and he's looking around going, I just go out and pitch my game, man. I should be in good shape. You know, looks around the clubhouse, say who's going to be playing with and the history of the Dodgers and that sort of thing. So, you know, he was good. We may even see a better Tyler Glasnow because, you know, he's with a better team overall. And he's certainly an outstanding major league pitcher. And his last night, yesterday, was a great showing for him. And, man, let's go. I'm like you. I'm really excited to see how he performed yesterday.
Last night, 6 innings, 5 Ks, a walk, and 2 hits. Four-seam, Coach. His four-seam not touched. His four-seam averaged 96 miles an hour. So did his two-seam. You're talking about a guy that can put some spin rate on a baseball that's over 2,600. 2,300 is a cutoff between two-seam and four-seam. But then he can also throw both of those pitches and make that two-seam move. He has the curveball that was breaking over 50 inches last night. And then, by the way, he was throwing both of his fastballs, his four-seam and his two-seam, for a strike right around 70% of the time. You add that to the devastating curveball, the slider. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Not very many people on earth can throw the way that Tyler Glasnow threw last night.
And that's funny. I was just reading, before we went on air here, I was just reading some comments from him after the game, and he thought his slider was his only pitch. He said the heater and the curve, you know, weren't there, but I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
But he said a slider, you know, he could throw it any time. That made him feel good. And I know I think he stole his slider 90 plus on his slider alone.
He averaged above 90 miles an hour on his slider. I mean, come on, what is that?
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. And that guy's so tall, he's halfway to the plate when he releases. Yeah. So, no, that's a great sign for the Dodgers. And like I said, when I talk about starting pitch, I'm talking about it as a whole, just the health of what we have. And I don't know, that's a concern to me. And I talked to guys smarter than me, way smarter than me, like a guy named Matt Holliday. And we were talking about the Dodgers, and that's kind of what he said. He said he just kind of worried about their starting pitching. And Matt forgot more baseball than I'll ever know. So it was good talking to him about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I saw where his boy hit a home run last night for you guys. I know Josh Alday, the head baseball coach at Oklahoma State, his son also got you a nice base hit as well. So congratulations on some great wins. But, hey, Bobby Miller looked fantastic. And then Galveston, of course, the Dodgers are going to get James Paxton back. They didn't have to put those starters on the roster for Seoul because they only needed two starters. They needed to really load the roster up with relievers. Gavin Stone's last outing, I want to talk about that, Coach. Some of the things that happened to him last year when he struggled is that he could not locate his changeup in the zone, and so hitters were just sitting on that pitch. They weren't swinging at it. And they were forcing him to come in the zone with, at that time, he didn't even have his two-seam. And it was kind of the last outing that he had was very similar. He started kind of pulling that changeup and bouncing it in the dirt. Hitters stopped swinging at it, then they ambushed a couple of fastballs. I thought it was interesting that cost him the runs. This last outing was really the same type of sequencing and issues he had last year, but it looked like to me it was more of a, hey, this is spring training, damn it, and we're going to get this figured out. You know, some of the deals that happened last year versus, hey, we need to get these next three outs because it's a major league game where the results matter. It just looked like a spring training type setup where they're actually trying to get better with the process and not pitching to results.
Yeah, I agree with this. Kind of the same types of things we saw with him last year, but hopefully we'll get that worked out. I know he's had some good moments this spring as well. So, I mean, he's shown the ability to be that guy. I mean, it's fun. Isn't it amazing? Here we are a total year later, all the winter, snows and everything, and these guys have major league guys, the scouting reports, the analytics, everything is still there. We're going to ambush the fastball. You know, there you go again.
Yeah.
They were waiting on it. So
they were.
That's why you have to be so good in the big leagues. There's no secrets. They know what you want to throw probably before you throw it, or they have a pretty good idea. They don't have to guess, but they have a pretty good idea what your game plan is. And I thought the same way with Yamamoto. I you know, enjoyed listening to the guys on broadcast talking about, you know, he's got to get the fastball early. They were ambushing that sucker early. They got all over him for five. You know, and of course, he's walking people, hitting people. But the book's out on him also. You know, early in the count, he's going to throw a fastball.
You worried about him?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I think it's experience. Before the game, again, I was watching some information stuff. They were talking about the way his motion is. They showed him. They compared him to another pitcher, how straight he is and flat he is here. And his fastball, therefore, is straight at times and flat. And they said that's, you know, that is a problem in long term, you know, as these major league hitters get more and more information.
That's an adjustment he's going to have to make.
He's going to have to make it. In other words, don't look like he's throwing downhill. He's throwing pretty much straight. He's not throwing downhill.
It's which isn't good. Straight's not good if you're a pitcher.
And he's not very tall. So, you know, they compared him to another pitcher. And I apologize for not having that name, but I watched it. And it made sense where they showed you video evidence of the fastball being straight and pretty straight, and big league hitters aren't missing those things. And as you saw in that game, they ambushed that thing early before he could throw his breaking pitches, you know, which is his go-to. So I think that again, there are no secrets already. In his first major league start ever, they knew exactly how to attack him. And some concerns there, lack of experience, not talent, but lack of experience is some things you see. That's amazing that that already you can see some things that guys are picking up on. That's his first start.
Yeah,
it's some things are going to have to change. Yes.
Yeah, Gavin Stone, Ryan Pepiot learned that lesson at the major league level. If you have a weakness, like for instance, if you require people to swing and miss on pitches that are easily identifiable for a major leaguer, where they can go watch video and identify it. Man, it doesn't take him long. And it's like, I know Ryan was like, he would throw a pitch and it would be 3 inches off the plate and the major league hitter wouldn't swing at it. And he'd be like, damn, how'd that dude not swing at that pitch? And I mean, it got really frustrating for him, right? And then he'd have to bring it in the zone. Then all of a sudden you get hit. And that's just a process of learning how to pitch against the best hitters in the world and the best information, like you said.
Yeah, like I said, they know what they're going to have to do, and that's what makes, when you look at how Glasnow pitched yesterday, he's pitched against major league hitters too and pretty much dominating them. So that tells you how good he pitched, because the things we're talking about, you know, some other pitchers having issues, that dude's out there, you're going, oh, man. I mean, because they got the same information. You know, there's no secrets to Glasnow either, but he was so good it didn't matter. Hey, here, this is coming right here, and they still couldn't hit it. So that's a great sign for the Dodgers and for that young man going forward.
The thing about Glasnow, I talk about this with Kyle Hurt too, is that his results are on his shoulders. And what I mean is, if he does even somewhat close to what he's capable of, a major league hitter doesn't have a chance, yep. At least on a consistent level. You know, there are some pitchers, like we saw Ryan Yarbrough yesterday. Hey, they rely on weak contact, so they need to rely on maybe a major league hitter not guessing right on that pitch or not putting the barrel in the exact location as they're moving the ball, trying to move the ball off the barrel. Glasnow's not that guy. That's why you love these guys, because you know if they execute on a consistent basis, major league hitters are out. Those guys as a manager really make you feel comfortable, don't they?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I go back to the most amazing one to me, and I'm surely not a Yankee fan, but I'm a Mariano Rivera fan, yeah. From day one. The dude had one pitch and nobody could hit him. Righties, yeah. Lefties, it made no difference. You know, and everybody knew what he was throwing. And, you know, that's how good he was. That everybody knew he had one pitch, and
yeah.
he's gonna saw you off and eat you alive. And that was amazing. That just showed you the greatness of him. And if major league pitchers can do that, because you know there's nobody guessing here. They've got all the information how a guy's going to approach them. These guys are great. You know, if they're tipping pitches, and there was some talk about maybe Yamamoto was tipping some pitches in the spring. You know, I'm not in on those talks, and then I saw some of that stuff also. So, you know, these guys are amazing. The scouting, the players themselves sitting in the dugout watching, they can pick up so much. And if you're tipping pitches, they will find it. You know, I promise you.
How about this lineup? Mookie Betts hitting .636. This is not slow. This isn't beer league softball, coach. This is a major league baseball team. Mookie Betts, .636. Shohei Ohtani, .385. Freddie Freeman, .333. Will Smith, .429. Max Muncy, .333. That's a murderer's row.
That's correct. I love, and you know, and I'm working with Coach Lees here with Stillwater High Baseball. He's been a Division I coach. We concentrate on direction, on our hitting. It's all directional. We try to stay right center, left center. We don't want to roll over anything. And you center watching
a little bit early. You pull down the left field line. You're a little bit late. You pull down. You push it down the right field line.
Absolutely, it does happen. But our focus is here in the middle. I think Will Smith, they were talking about on the broadcast, I think every one of his hits right back up in that general area.
It's called using the big part of the field.
Yes, and he, you know, he hit great over there, and I think you're looking for a big. I know they gave me a contract extension. That's great. I hate we're probably going to lose that young good one when we got down in the minor leagues. At some point, we'll have to do something with him. But the way he hit the baseball, you know, he's not trying to do too much. He's not trying. You know, I look for him to have a big breakout year. It's no news flash. Everybody knows he's a really good player and a good catcher. So, you know, it's amazing the stuff you see and that hitting right there. Mookie, I love the guy when he's with the Red Sox. He's just a guy that everybody, you know, I love great baseball players. I love Mookie when he's over there, and oh, thank God he's wearing Dodger blue now.
Could you have a better backup shortstop than Miguel Rojas? Mickey Rowe, from just a leadership perspective, the way he plays on the field, he is the perfect guy to be the guy that could bridge all those gaps between Mookie and Gavin, I think.
Yeah, when they start having to make some moves, you know, defensively, you know, Roberts has got a lot of options there. You know, Mookie can play, you know, short and probably play third. And we know he can play everything in the outfield. So, you know, if he has to start moving some guys around, bring Miggy in to play short, he's got some options, some things. And, of course, we always got Chris Taylor and Kike. You know, we love those guys. They can play anywhere. They give you solid professional at-bats and innings when they're in there. So, a lot of things the Dodgers can do there. Like I said, there are some concerns, but, you know, not every team's isn't perfect. Yeah, everybody's got some things they want to shore up. So
I tell you another guy. We talked about Tyler Glasnow, another guy that we knew he was great. I mean, we knew that he was a generational type talent. Honestly, Coach, I had no idea Shohei Ohtani was this good of a hitter. And what I mean by that is I thought he was going to be explosive. I thought he was going to be fun to watch. I thought he was going to be very effective. But just the intricacies of hitting the ball where it's pitched, knowing what pitches to ambush and which count, And he sells out, Coach. This is great. If you're a kid listening, if you're a kid watching the Dodgers, watch Shohei Ohtani, because he is the exact type of hitter that we all scream about. He tries to be a great hitter first, and if the ball happens to get up in the air and leave the yard, so be it. But he is trying to get a hit every time he gets up. He's not trying to launch the ball in the air and hit home runs. Shohei Ohtani, and I don't know how he does it, because that spectacle at Dodger Stadium yesterday when all the phones were out, and I mean, it was like, how do you focus in that scenario? Then he just gets up and rips a double down the right field line. So he's obviously able to focus and tunnel in, you know, Kevin Costner, clear the mechanisms. He's able to clear the mechanisms, right, and focus in. And then he tries to be a great hitter first. I could not be more impressed with Shohei Ohtani.
He just hit. He's a line drive hitter first, like you said, Case, but he's a massive man. I've never seen him up live, but you just tell he's a huge guy, a strong guy, a hard worker, you know, that puts the time in. The Dodgers all talked about that after he signed. He was working every day. But you're absolutely correct. Of course, he had a couple there in Korea that would have been out in a regular ballpark, not a cavern like that baby was, you know.
Yeah.
But he wasn't trying. Like you said, they were line shots. You know, he's just amazing. He is a generational talent. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, it'd be great if he comes back and is able to pitch. You know, that's – we're sure getting our money back in that days. But even if he don't, he brings so much offensively to the ball club, and he can run. You know, the guy can steal some bases for you. He's an athlete.
A little too fast last night when he ran up on Mookie at third base, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. But he can run, and you know, and it's just great. Again, that's one I'm glad's in Dodger blue. So it's going to be so much fun this year.
Freddie Freeman, as much as we brag on him, I don't think people realize just even how good he actually is. I mean, this is a guy that's hit 300 in almost every year that he's played. Freddie Freeman is not one of the best hitters in the game. He's one of the best hitters the game's ever seen. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that. Freddie Freeman is just a ridiculously – and he's good defense too, but he's a ridiculously great offensive player. He's a really, really, really good defensive player. Hey man, Freddie Freeman, I just am so impressed with him coming over. You knew he was good. He's another one of those. You knew he was good. Had no idea, honestly, the scope of just how great he is, to be quite honest with you. So Freddie Freeman, fantastic too.
When you start seeing him every day, you're just even more impressed. Like I said, again, I'm a big baseball fan. I love Freddie when he's with Atlanta. Then you get him where you watch more games. And well, even yesterday, what was that curveball? I mean, I saw a replay. That was a 60-something miles an hour curveball. And he has to generate all the power of that. I mean, it's a big looping curveball, and it hits a thing of a mile. But, you know, and he hit 50-something doubles last year. You know, I mean, the guy's amazing. He's a doubles hitter. He stole
20 bases.
I mean, yeah, and he's still 20 bases. He still can hit 20-plus homers. He's going to be 20-plus homer guy every year. I agree with you, Case. He's one of the best. And he's so consistent, you know. I mean, he's one of the best hitters I think the game's ever seen. And, man, you got three MVPs top of your lineup. I mean, they could all three win it again this year, be fighting for it over there, you know. So that's a great sign. But, again, the Dodgers got some pieces behind them, too, that are really important. We're going to see Teoscar's going to – I think he'll get going, have a good year. He's always been a good offensive player. And he don't have to carry the load. That's a great part about him. The part of the lineup he's hitting now, and Altman, they don't have to carry the load. Just get us back to the top of this thing, you know. However we do it, you know, and they're going to see some pitches to hit. So it fits in well. The lineup is set up to be devastating.
I've been saying it for quite a while, but when you have to face Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, then you have maybe the game's best run producer behind you in Max Muncy. Will Smith, first of all, he already has elite plate discipline. He's going to swing at the right pitches, and he's going to, if he does that, if he just doesn't chase the zone, because of the lineup around him, Will Smith is going to get very hittable pitches. I've been saying that all this entire offseason, and man, has he done that early. 429 for him. I think really this sets up now, hey, the best laid plans. You say that all the time, Coach. Things don't always work like they're supposed to, especially in this game. So who knows what's actually going to happen. But the way things set up, I think Will Smith is probably the most exciting player to watch, because I think just the lineup combined with what he does well sets up for him to have a huge year.
I think we're going to see a breakout year from him. Muncy's going to be Muncy. He's going to produce runs. He's going to hit home runs, drive in runs. offensively. But I think, look, it, all things are shaping up is for Will Smith just to be devastating this year. And like I said, where he's sitting in the lineup, he's going to get pitches to hit, and he's so good at what he does. So early returns say yes, but, I mean, I think it sets up for him. And he's always been a good hitter at the major league level, so it's nothing new. But now he's surrounded by greatness right in front of him, and it comes down. And I have fun there, baby, because somebody, they're going to pitch to you. They're going to have to throw you something, and he's going to flourish in that.
Not just the murderer's row at the top, not just Will Smith, Max Muncy, T.O. in the middle. Been saying a lot for a long time now, too, that, hey, man, James Outman in the eight hole right in front of Gavin Lux. There's not going to be a – if Gavin Lux just performs somewhat close to what he's capable of, there's not going to be a better nine-hole in the game. Probably not going to be a better eight-hole in the game than James Outman. He got two hits last night. I love that swinging bunt to a shifted over third baseman. That was fun to watch. And then to watch his speed, probably not going to be a better seven-hole than T.O. Hernandez, if that's where you put him. So the bottom of this lineup may be better than anybody else's bottom, too. And we see all the time in baseball – a lot of times, you know, hey, the teams that can actually score all through the lineup are the best offenses.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. And, you know, for Outman down there and Lux has already shown he'd be a good, you know, major league hitter. And again, we even do it on the high school level. We want to get back to the top of the order. Give me, just turn the lineup over. That's the age old story for your nine hole, you know, back when you wasn't a pitcher, but, you know, that's age old story. Just turn the lineup over. Lux, do something, and when you do something, Mookie Betts walks to the plate.
Yeah.
Think about that. Dude, if you just keep an inning going, look who's coming up to bat. Oh, and if Mookie does something, look who's behind him. Dave Roberts got to be walking out there every day going, man, I think I'm in blue heaven. And
yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
Offensively, he's in blue heaven. And, of course, me and you, I'd manage the Dodgers. And if they're playing out here and back, it's the greatest job in the world to me. But that bottom of the order, I see T. Oscar having a good year also. I think he's too good an offensive player to not do that. Outman, you know, went through some tough times last year, but he came back around and finished up strong. And Lux is just the tip of the iceberg of what he's going to be capable of doing. And again, do anything, son, and Mookie Betts comes up to bat.
Yep.
I mean, that's a great feeling.
You mentioned that you have Kike Hernandez, you have Chris Taylor, who could be your platoon guys, right-handed bats against lefties coming off the bench. They can provide you depth in your outfield and your infield. You have good outfield defense right now. You have ridiculous offense. Your infield defense, I think, in my opinion, would be your biggest concern at this point. And then there's just the health of your starting pitchers.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not a perfect roster yet. I think that's why Brandon Gomes said that the Dodgers aren't necessarily all the way in yet, because there still may be more to come. Imagine that, Coach. But final thoughts before we get out of here.
I think and I'm glad the Dodgers aren't standing pat. You know, we could all sit here as fans and wave our pom poms and, hey, look at this. But we see, because where do we need to get better at, just like they're doing. And I love the fact they're not just sitting there standing pat. We need to shore up some things, and if we need to make a move to do that, we will. And I love that part about the front office. They're not, you know, everybody's all hammering the Dodgers like we used to back in the Yankees used to buy everybody. You know, I want to always tell them the Dodgers didn't do anything for that. That's my opinion. We used to sit here and get mad because they didn't go get anybody. Now they're getting everybody because they're capable of doing it. People are complaining, but it doesn't matter. People are complaining because they're jealous and they don't have that capability of doing that. But the offensive team looks great. Glasnow, yeah, I mean, he is what he is, and I'm with you totally in the infield defense and the health reliability of the starting pitching is a bit. Of course, you know, the bullpen too. You know, you got some injuries there, so there's still some things out there to shore up, and I could see him making a big move. Not necessarily a starting pitcher, maybe a reliever, big time reliever somewhere. Some guy, as you call him, as Gary Ward used to call him, a bridge guy.
Yeah,
a guy that can come in, go three or four innings, you know, regularly. So. It's exciting, and I'm glad they're still looking to try to get better every day. It's what we try to do in high school, just get better every day.
Yeah, I thought Ryan Yarbrough looked really good as that swing.
Yes.
Ryan Yarbrough has a role in this team. The role is be versatile, be able to extend multiple innings, and create soft contact. He did everything that he's supposed to do with his role with the Dodgers last night. So I thought he looked good, Ryan Yarbrough.
three inning save. I mean, that's good. He comes. I just have to look. I didn't pay attention. Looked at the Cardinals. They had three hits. Goldschmidt had them all, I guess. Yeah. So that's not a bad lineup. They got a couple Hall of Famers over there, too. And that's a pretty good lineup that the Cardinals run out there, too. And their history, as we all know, is great, like the Dodgers. So, you know, no, Yarbrough is exactly what Yarbrough needed to be yesterday. That's great to see also.
Hey, Coach, love you, man. Appreciate you joining. It's great to get to talk to you again. Hopefully we get to connect Sunday night for Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network and talk about a great weekend of Dodgers baseball. So till the next time I get to talk to you, go Nears, right? Okay, the Stillwater Pioneers. Go Nears. And then also, no doubt about it, I want to thank everybody else for tuning in, and go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. Thanks, Case. Love you, brother.